AM 570 KLAC. 98.7 KYSR HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
We got the football!
It's a Bosa Bowl.
We got to plant a seed for the future.
Hey, we the best! Let's go show it!
What a grab by Mike!
We got to plant a seed for future.
Punches into the end zone!
This is where you rise. This is where you shine. This is where you become the greatest of all time. History in the make.
This is LA Football Mondays.
Anytime Eric Dickerson gets a step, he's gone.
Talking all things football with Rams Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com. And now, on AM 570 and live on the iHeartRadio app, here's Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson.
All right, we continue. The gang back together on a Monday, brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers. Later this hour, we've got the College Football National Championship game tonight, Alabama and Ohio State, and we will get into that. But as we do, at 2 o'clock each and every day, it is time for us to unify, to come together, to break down the barriers and tear down the walls. It is time for us to be one. And to provide that unity and spirituality, we welcome on Vic the Brick with the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good Monday afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Fred. Good afternoon, Rodney.
Vic.
Good afternoon, E.D. Eric Dickerson out of Sealy, Texas now.
Good afternoon, my friend.
And on the board, on the ones and twos, in for Ronnie Fascio, it's Adam Austin, double A, Salty Dog. How are you?
Come on now.
E.D., before I get into my whole haiku, you know, shtick, Cam Akers.
Yep. Is this dude
for real out of Florida State? He looks sensational.
Yeah, you know, at Florida State, he didn't have a lot of help over there. So you didn't hear a lot about him. But I'm going to tell you one thing that we noticed, and I think the Rams noticed about him, is that he would get hit in the backfield, but he seemed to always pick up yards some kind of way, fall forward. So and we didn't have him the last time we played Seattle. And it showed we have him as a running game. And in the running game, it paid off big time. So, yes, he's real.
If he breaks out again, you know, in the tundra, Rams win that game. Because he's their offense, basically. You know, if, you know, Goff, you know, can't really throw, you know, a great ball with the thumb, he's got to look towards Akers. And I know Green Bay gets that, but still, I mean, he was just sensational. Anyway, I love the Rams in the upset. They got momentum. Their defense is insane. We need Aaron Donald, you know, to just come with his ribs, man. I know he hurt his ribs, you know, carrying Russell Wilson over his head like that. And he just kind of lifted him up.
Yeah,
right?
He just chucked him around.
That's how he hurt his ribs.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. He was bench pressing Russell Wilson. That's how he hurt his ribs.
Yep.
Anyway. Guys, I know you love sumo. It was the first day of the 2021 Japanese sumo tournament in Tokyo yesterday.
All right. First of all, when you preface it with guys, just matter-of-factly, I know you love sumo. I mean, I happen to love sumo. I've covered sumo wrestling for NBC.
No, you have not, Fred. You have not covered sumo wrestling.
Absolutely.
For what?
Years ago for NBC, Sports World.
What do you know about sumo wrestling?
Exactly.
Please enlighten us.
What are the rules of
Please
sumo
enlighten.
Wrestling?
Let Fred enlighten us, Vic.
Rodney, I've told you the story. I did it, and the analyst was Lyle Alzado. Oh, yeah. They flew me to Tokyo years ago, and we did sumo wrestling. Here are the rules.
You know the rules of sumo wrestling?
Yeah. Knock the guy out of the circle.
That's it?
That's it.
Or, Fred, you can also push the guy to the ground as long as he hits the ground within the circle.
Right.
That's also a victory.
That's the rules of sumo.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on. Vic, thank you for letting Fred say, right. He didn't know. He said, yeah, right.
What are you talking about? I get it.
I was like
I actually
get it. I was like a kid saying, yeah, I was just going to say that. I was just about to say that.
I learned that all the sumo wrestlers live in the sumo house. They all live together.
Sumo stable. It's called the stable.
Okay, well, whatever you want to call it.
Fred was about to say that. He was just about to say stable.
I just want to give some clarity on this, Fred.
Whatever.
He was about to say stable.
He was just about to say stable. You cut him off.
Not like animals, Vic. I called it the sumo house. That's what we called it. Stable house.
The sumo stable, yeah.
All right, they all live there. They eat, they train, they go out there, and boom. That's what they do.
And boom.
They're trying to eat a lot of rice. A lot of rice.
Right. I mean, they're enormous guys.
Right. He was just about to say that, too.
Oh, you guys remember the story when Lyle Alzado said he was going to wrestle the sumo guy as a feature?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And he put on the little thing, and he went out there, and they started circling around. And it was like a 19-year-old kid. Lyle Alzado, if you don't know, NFL player, played for the Raiders, played for the Browns. Great personality.
Legend.
Yeah. And he goes out there, and he starts circling, and they put a young sumo out there. So the guy didn't weigh like 350 pounds, but he was tall. And, you know, he's circling around, and he takes a step toward the guy, and the sumo guy rears his right hand back and slaps him in the face as hard as I've never seen. Kind of dazed him, then picked him up and slammed him into a wall. And afterwards, Alzado said, well, I just didn't want to hurt the guy. I didn't want to hurt. I was like, really? Looks like you got pretty beat up there in your 5 seconds in the sumo ring. So
it was like Rocky and Hulk Hogan, huh?
Man.
Was it staged, or did he really slam him?
Oh, he slammed him. Yeah, because the guy took it as an affront that this guy's going to put on the thing and start circling around like a sumo. Let him have it. But who's...
Very violent sport. It's a great sport. It's an ancient sport. It's a very honorable sport.
And doesn't this run for like a week, Vic, or something?
15 days.
Okay.
So that was day one.
And Vic, in Tokyo,
they shift to different cities.
Vic, those guys
are... And, of course, with the COVID...
He's not listening.
I was going to say,
those guys are humongous stars, like big-time NBA stars over here, NFL stars over here, right?
Oh, they're beyond rock stars. They're beyond rock stars. They can't walk the streets. You know, Japanese rock is pretty weak. I can tell you that. But sumo is king. And if you're a champion sumo wrestler like Hakaho, who unfortunately is missing this tournament, he has COVID concerns. 65 sumo wrestlers actually are out.
What's his name?
This tournament because of COVID.
Hakaho.
Hakaho. As a matter of fact, I was just going to ask Fred who was the greatest sumo wrestler. I looked it up just to see if he knew, but I know he didn't know.
I have no idea. Who was it?
He just said Hakaho So. His name is Hakaho.
I'm going with Hakaho because he won 44 world championships.
Yep, Hakaho.
And no one's close to Hakaho in championships.
Yep, you're right.
And he's out of Mongolia. He's about 354. But Hakaho's style, and he's embraced by the Japanese people as a king. He's a god among men. He's Hakaho is the one. Ichiban, number one. Hi?
Mm-hmm. You got it. You're right. You're right. You know your sumo.
I'm a sumo guy, E.D. You know that?
Come on, baby. I know you know you. You know your haiku.
And this haiku for you today, this haiku at 2 on this Monday, January the 11th, is from our old friend Shiki.
All right.
I know you guys like Shiki.
Love Shiki. Love some Shiki.
Shiki. Shiki.
That's how you spell
in crevice,
it.
In crevice.
That is
Fred!
How you spell it. What?
Freddy!
Fred.
Why?
All right. Go ahead.
Why, Fred?
Go ahead.
It's a new 2021. It's a new year, Fred.
I was just saying that's how you spell it.
Yeah, but why are you interrupting the haiku?
Why add that? We're just about to get into Shiki. The mood's set. The koto is playing. The samisen is playing, you know, this traditional Japanese guitar, the samisen.
Yeah.
The shamisen. Let's say samisen, the shamisen.
Whatever it is, Vic.
Wow.
Let's do it. In crevice after crevice, on the cliff face, wild azaleas, I'm feeling you! Shiki.
Okay. I don't know if I captured it. I don't know if I really captured it. Rodney, did you get that?
Crevice after crevice. It was wild what, Vic? I'm sorry.
Azaleas.
Azaleas. Okay, okay.
The now beautiful azaleas.
Yes, yes, yes.
Rodney, you know.
Crevice after crevice. I get it. I get it. And the wild azaleas.
Wild azaleas, E.D.
I heard that. I like that. I like that. I like that azaleas.
No, that was sincere. That was very sincere, Eric.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. It didn't sound sincere enough for you, Fred.
No.
My bad. Okay. Man, I really like that, Vic. You brought it that time.
Thanks, E.D. It's, you know, just a cheeky commuting.
A little cheeky.
Which the haiku, of course, is the main point. It's always its goal, its mission, is to be one with nature.
Yeah. What about you?
And of course, the seasons.
You don't get it? One with nature?
No, I get one with nature. I'm just saying, some speak more to me than others.
Which one speaks
cheeky,
to you,
Fred?
Cheeky. Cheeky can't speak to you, Fred. I don't know who can.
No, I don't either. Really. Cheeky, because cheeky rhymes with freaky.
Oh, and that's where you
Cheeky can be a little freaky.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Watch it by a man who's not freaky. Our buddy Jacob and Ronnie. You get yourself into trouble, you need help. And the guy to call 24 hours a day is Jacob and Ronnie. He's our attorney. 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob.
So remember we discussed last week, you know, Doug Peterson shaking up his staff in Philadelphia a little bit, you know, winning a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, had to buy you some equity, right? It did, for about three extra days. He was fired earlier today as the head coach of the Eagles. Jeffrey Lurie spoke to the media a short bit ago, saying that the expectations, they fell woefully short of what they were looking for this past year. He says he has all the respect in the world for Doug, but they wanted to go into a different direction. Speaking of their quarterback, Carson Wentz, he says he expects him to realize his potential, called him an asset, a great talent, and a great guy, and wants nothing more than to win big for the city of Philadelphia. He's what you want in a quarterback. So it sounds like they made their choice. They chose Carson Wentz over Doug Peterson, Fred.
Yeah, and really, he makes more money. I mean, he was drafted in the same year as Jared Goff. I don't think Carson Wentz is as bad as people say Carson Wentz is.
Mm-mm. I like Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, he had an off year.
Yeah, no help.
And it didn't help, as you point out, Kevin, it didn't help when Peterson made that odd decision at the end of the game.
Odd is being generous, Fred.
Yeah, it was. You know, I actually thought that the front office had told him to take him out before the game and say, get him out of there. You know, we want to see what this guy can do, or we don't want Jalen Hurts to get too good. I don't know, but I actually thought he was told to do that. And that's why I thought, oh, he'll be fine. But apparently, Rodney, he's not fine.
No, he's not fine. And I think that was the nail at the end of in the coffin. And I like Doug and know Doug pretty well. But yeah, to do that, what happens then when you take Jalen Hurts out of a game that, you know, you win that game and a different team goes to the playoffs and all those stuff. So there's some implications on it. But when you do that, you lose the locker room, because I think everybody in that locker room had, you know, once Jalen Hurts took over, I think a lot of the players were like rooting for him. You know, not that they hate Carson Wentz or don't want Carson Wentz to succeed, but they were rooting for Jalen Hurts to do well, and he had played well for him. And then to do that to him at the end of the season in the last game, that's a quick way to lose respect in the locker room. And I think that was shown, and eventually they had to make a move. And they also had 30-plus million reasons why to keep Carson Wentz as opposed to Doug Peterson. But Philadelphia the last couple of years have had absolutely, you know, we talk a lot about the Chargers out here with injuries. They've had the injuries, and also they've lost guys and don't have much, when they say talent, compared to the rest of the league. They have dropped off dramatically since they went to the Super Bowl in terms of players and guys that have got hurt and all those type of things. So it was an uphill battle to begin with. And then, you know, once things start, it's hard to get it turned around for Carson Wentz.
Well, remember I always say, I'm sure Doug Peterson said, I can go in that direction too. Want a different direction. I can go in that direction. Just point me to that direction. You know, the writing was on the wall. I talked to, what's the receiver name? Deshaun. I can't think of his name. I talked to Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Jackson. Yeah, and I talked to him. He was on the phone with a buddy of mine. So I said, let me talk to Deshaun right quick. So I said, what happened in that game that they took Hurts out? He said, man, I don't know. He said, I can tell you this. The players didn't like it. He said, I don't know if they were trying to do a thing for draft picks. He said, but the players didn't like it. And he said that. The players didn't like it. So that showed you right there that the players went down with it. I don't know if the front office might have been down with it, but it didn't go well. But when you lose the players, you lose. And the players, are that's the football team. When you lose their confidence, because when you're out there playing, man, you're trying to win. I mean, you are. Yeah. No matter if it's the last game of the season, the middle of the season, if you even getting blown out, if you got a chance to win, you want to win. And that's what it's all about. So I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked that they fired him.
Well, Peterson embarrassed the organization. I mean, I was foaming at the mouth when I was watching that game. You know, obviously, I wanted the Giants to get in. But for him to, just tank the game on purpose and humiliate what is the greatest entertainment in sports in this country, the NFL, I'm surprised he lasted this long. I mean, he fomented incredible fury on the squad. I mean, he was lucky he lasted that game out. They were in his face. The Eagle players on the sidelines were in his face. He got lucky. He didn't get beaten up by the squad. I mean, he fomented a freaking revolution there in Philadelphia. I mean, that was insane what Peterson did. You know, to take out Jalen Hurts. Jalen had already run for 2 touchdowns that game. You take out Jalen Hurts, he puts in that freak, whoever it was, Sandoval? Who did he put in? Some? I don't even know who he put in.
I don't either.
I don't think the Eagles knew he put Sundvold or Johnny Sundvold, the old three-point shooter from the Washington.
Yeah, it was not Johnny Sundvold.
It wasn't Johnny Sundvold. He put in some freak no one heard of, and the whole squad went nuts. Peterson will never coach again in the National Football League. You heard it here first.
I don't know if that's true. Vic, I just saw a minute ago that your Jets are interested, so let's slow that down.
Yeah,
you might be getting something that you don't want. Doug Peterson could be
he won a Super Bowl, Vic. He's going to get another shot.
He'll get a second
chance. He'll get a chance 3 years later.
He'll get a shot before Anthony Lynn gets a shot.
Now, if that was a brother, he might not get a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we know how that goes.
You know how that goes. It don't come around that often for us. And Fred, you heard what I said. Get that look off your face.
I heard what you said, Aaron.
That would be insane. If Peterson gets a head coaching gig first before Anthony Lynn, would be insane.
No, Vic, it would not be insane.
Or before Eric Bieniemy.
It would totally be insane.
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric brought up Eric Bieniemy's name. So Deshaun Watson, by all reports, is very upset with the Houston Texans right now. That's because they initially told him he was going to be consulted on the head coaching interviews and the hiring of the general manager. They did not consult with him on hiring Nick Caserio away from the Patriots to be the new general manager. He asked them if they would interview Eric Bieniemy, and they said, no, we're not even going to interview him. So there is a general manager or an executive who spoke anonymously to The Athletic earlier today. He says Watson kind of represents the new age of player. We talk about this in player empowerment in the NBA, and like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant told the Nets who they wanted as their head coach. He says Deshaun Watson, if he wanted to, can do a power play with the Texans right now and say, you guys are going to listen to what I say or I'm not going to play here. He compared it to the Carson Palmer situation with the Cincinnati Bengals. When Carson said, I'm not setting foot back into that stadium, trade me or I retire, and he did it. Now, I don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to retire, but he does have a no-trade clause and could force his way out of Houston, Fred, and that's what people are saying could possibly happen.
I find it interesting, and you guys can speak to it much better than I can, that in the NFL, they're openly, or he is saying, yeah, he was given that veto power. You know that in the NBA, Deshaun Watson.
He didn't say he was given veto power.
Well, he would be consulted.
They would talk to him about the different candidates.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it happens, but you got a guy like that, and Eric mentioned it, I happen to agree with him. If you start in a team, you talk about guys, and we've seen guys run it all, and Patrick Mahomes got the big-time arm, but the guy that could do it all is a very good, can stand and throw the ball with the best of them and also run with the best of them is Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you guys saw the clip, walking off the field at the end of the season, J.J. Watt and him walking off the field, and J.J. Watt saying, man, we're letting you down. We're letting you down. We're wasting your good years, man. We're wasting you. And they are. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because he is a once-in-a-generational type of talent that they've not been able to surround him. And then when they do have talent there, they trade him away, his best receiver. So the fact, it's one thing to say we're gonna, you know, we're gonna consult with you, yeah, we want you involved, and then don't do it at all. That's worse. Number one, at least say up front, no, we're gonna handle this. This is upstairs business. This is not player business. Be upfront about that. But if you're gonna tell the guy, yes, we'll keep you involved, and you don't, especially when it comes, I get GM, but when it comes to the head coach, and he makes a suggestion because he has a great relationship with Patrick Mahomes, asking about Bienemy, because that's well documented that those two talk, and he's asked Mahomes about, you know, talk to me about Eric Bienemy. That's why Bienemy's name got thrown out there by him, and you don't even interview him. You don't even interview him. We got the Rooney Rule. We got all kinds. You don't even interview him. That's a problem. And I, yes, if I'm Deshaun Watson, yeah, you play that power play. Absolutely you do.
I agree 100% with everything you said, Rodney. I mean, they should have talked to Deshaun about this. He is the face of that franchise. But I'm going to say that to say this. When I saw, first of all, I talked to an agent that said that they were not going to bring Eric Bieniemy in. And that's Houston. That's Houston, Texas. I don't see them ever, not in my life, maybe in my life, and maybe I get older, hiring a black head coach. And that's the fact. I'm from Texas. I know that area. And it's sad because, you know, Deshaun Watson is such a great player, not a good player. Like, he's like a once in a lifetime player, but he's on a bad team, a bad organization, and bad organizations, it just goes to show, I mean, how bad they are. They let Bill O'Brien get rid of his best receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. How can you allow that bozo, and he's a bozo, to get rid of your best player, and then compare DeAndre Hopkins to what's the kid that got into trouble in New England, the tight end? They went to prison and killed himself.
Henry Hernandez.
Compared him to that guy. I mean, to me, that's a bad coach, bad organization. But man, it's just so sad because, man, he is such a great player. I wish we could get him here. If we could get him here, oh my God, we could get him here. It'd be a game changer. But we don't have the draft picks. You know, we don't have the rumors. They made a straight up swapping. Houston would never go for that.
Apparently, the Houston organization didn't even follow their PR directive, who they spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to help them make a decision on this, and they came up with Canario. He was not even in the conversation. Yeah, everyone is really angry in Houston. The Texans are in tumult, man. They are in tumult.
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 And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
All right, Ohio State and Alabama, the national championship game. The end of the college football season. Somehow, someway, they all survived it. And we'll get into it next.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Text the nationwide keyword SMILE to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's SMILE to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570 LA Sports.
From the Rams to the Raiders to the Chargers, this is LA Football Mondays on AM 570 LA Sports. Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Pete are presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com.
I'm sober, I just don't like who I am. Pull me up a four and I feel like myself again. Roll me up some dope and I feel like myself again.
That's right, it's an LA Football Monday. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. Got a big game tonight, Fred.
Yeah. College football national championship game, Alabama and Ohio State. Rodney, let's bring on AP Stedham. Now, I worked with AP when I did Rob's national show on Fox Sports Radio. Mm-hmm. He came out and talked about college football. I thought he was absolutely terrific, and I thought, you know what? Let's bring him on our show because he's really good. AP, thanks for doing this.
Hey, hi, Fred, Rodney, and Eric. Thank you for having me on the show. How are y'all this afternoon?
Hey, guys.
Fantastic.
We're doing well. Okay, so going into the game tonight, does Ohio State have a legitimate shot, AP?
Absolutely, because they have balance on offense. Matter of fact, they're 272 rushing and passing. You have the outstanding quarterback, and that's somebody who can defeat Alabama, as we saw in the past, you know, with Johnny Manziel and Deshaun Watson and those types, Trevor Lawrence. So he can throw the football, and he trusts his receivers, his speedy receivers, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, and he'll throw it deep, and they're the touchdown makers. But watch out for those tight ends. How do you keep somebody happy with 12 catches? You throw them five touchdown passes like they did with Jeremy Reichert there. So, you know, that's something to key on the tight ends this game on both sides.
Yeah, you know, and I got to look at – you know, and I know the people are picking Bama, but I look at Ohio State, the way the season went for them, having to fight to even have a season. You know, remember the Justin Fields, you know, letter and just marching to try to beg to get a season going. And you know why? Because they had a really good football team, and this was his year. Just felt like they're just playing with a little chip on their shoulder, especially in that Clemson game, as they talked about. Oftentimes you talk about a game, it's revenge, but they had been talking and targeting that game for a year, after they thought they should have beat them the year before. Who do you think has an advantage or any in terms of Alabama played a full season where Ohio State didn't? Is there a freshness to Ohio State that may give them an advantage, or does it matter?
Well, Alabama has three players, namely Mac Jones, Najee Harris, and Devontae Smith. They made All-American. They won all the national awards. And then you throw in Alex Leatherwood. Najee, Alex, and Devontae came back for their senior season. They didn't come back to take the second-place trophy. And then you have on the other side, Justin Fields from Georgia, Trey Sermon, the outstanding running back, both from Georgia. They're familiar with the SEC chant of "it just means more." So there's a little motivation on their side, and Justin actually played against Alabama as a reserve quarterback in that unfortunate fourth down call for the 4th and 11 where they didn't make it, and Alabama went on to win that SEC championship game. So, you know, both teams are highly motivated. It's the SEC, the Big Ten. Those are the two power leagues at the moment. And I think college football fans are really going to have a great time watching this matchup tonight.
Hey, AP, Rodney did ask the question, but I'm going to ask it again. Ohio State played seven games, and Alabama played 12 games. I mean, you think that'll be a big factor in that football game? You know, because, you know, the more games you play, the more you get a little bit more tired.
Yeah. Yes, you're right about that. But I think for one night, one game, their last game of the year for Alabama, their last game in their career, I think the adrenaline will really be flowing. But, you know, seven games is definitely not 12. So, but I don't think that's going to be an excuse if that happens.
AP Stedham with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson on AM 570 LA Sports. AP, Justin Fields. All lights will be shined on him tonight. What do you expect him to do against Alabama?
You know, he's 6'3", about 230 pounds. Even if you have carry out your assignment, you still have to get him on the ground. And Alabama has trouble with those running quarterbacks. So I think they're going to test Alabama with some design runs possibly. But when he's in the pocket, if you don't have gap integrity, he can hurt you, you know, on a third down play. And it just takes a few times in the course of the game for him to make a big play. But he's going to throw to his receivers and give them a chance. You know, they recruited those wide receivers from California and Texas. And he trusts them. And then he's going to hand off to Trey Sermon. I think they'll try to pound away to Alabama a little bit because Trey Sermon has had about 600 yards in the last three games. He's really hot. The light has really come up for him. He's only had like 240 yards in the first, I think, four games, something like that. So, but he's Justin Fields was a top dual threat quarterback coming out of Georgia.
Yeah. And who do you think has the advantage? And first of all, who is the more talented when it comes to skill players, Alabama, Ohio State, and then who's the more talented when it comes to up front offensively and defensively?
Right. Well, offensively, have any of you seen a player this year or a defense that has stopped Devontae Smith? I have not. I mean, LSU, they wanted to double team him in the first half. They had Daryl Stingley, the junior, and he had 200 yards in the first half. And he set all kind of records at Alabama for a single game, season, career. So you have Devontae Smith, you have John Mechie III, you have Najee Harris, who's a first team All-American running back, and he has tremendous hands. You could send Najee not only in the flare pattern, but down the field to catch the football. Good tight end, Jaleel Billingsley from Chicago, representing Alabama. He's outstanding. He's kind of a secret weapon they don't use very often, but he was returning kicks the first time ever a tight end returned a kick for a Nick Saban team. So that should tell you something about his elusiveness. And up front, Alabama, their offensive line has just won the Joe Moore Award for the outstanding offensive line in college football. Defensively, they've got some young players that have come on and played better. There's an edge rusher, Will Anderson Jr., a freshman from Georgia, had 7 sacks. Christian Barmore out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 7 sacks. I think, and we don't know right now about Ohio State, they might be missing some defensive people on the front. So they're going to have to go with some reserves. But they recruit very well. And one night, one game, anything can happen. But I would say on the offensive line, defensive lines collectively, and the skilled players, Alabama has the edge. But, I mean, Ohio State, they recruit the same players at Alabama. It's not that far behind.
Speaking of recruiting, I got recruited a long time ago. But which team do you think wins the recruit? If say either team wins, Ohio State or Alabama, for his recruiting, which way do you think the recruiting falls? For which team is it better for? You know, because recruiting is all about, kind of what the mom and dads, a grandma and grandpa come down to.
Right. I know you had the audience with Coach Bryant. I remember that well, Eric. I remember that well. And, Alabama, what Nick Saban did, you remember that, I'm sure, the voice of God. We remember that Nick Saban, when he recruits, he presents the phrase, creating value for yourself. So you're an elite five-star player, and he's mentioning, I want you to create value for yourself and your brand. That is big with the young people today. But obviously, like I said, Ohio State, they're getting people from California and Texas and Florida and other parts of the country. So they work very well getting the top players. You know, it's Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State right now. But Alabama has gone to Honolulu, Hawaii to get a quarterback. They've gone to Colorado to get an All-American kicker. They went up to Iowa and got a lineman. They went to Minnesota. Those are places they've never been in the history of Alabama football.
AP, who do you think has to play well? I tend to think that for both of these teams, I think Justin Fields has to play well for Ohio State to win. He has to have a game like he did against Clemson for them to win.
Yes.
Do you think the same of Mac Jones? Does he have to play well for Alabama to win?
Mac Jones right now is at the 77% completion record, which if that holds, will set a national record. And I think Mac, believe it or not, he does a better job of checking down than Tua. And I thought Tua was the best quarterback I've ever seen in an Alabama uniform overall. And Mac has the pocket presence. He will take the hit. He's accurate with his throws. He'll throw the ball down the field. He makes the right checks at the line of scrimmage. His players love him. He's kind of a jokester. But, I do agree that Justin Fields, I don't know if he has to have 6 touchdown throws, but he can't have a Northwestern game where he has multiple interceptions in a game. Mac hasn't done that this year, had some single interceptions. I think it's 4 for the year. Justin Fields is 6.
AP, thanks for coming on. Thanks for breaking it down. By the way, who do you think wins?
Well, no one has stopped Alabama so far. Now, if they turn the ball over, then it's up for grabs. But I just like to say to Fred and Eric and Rodney that you will see unscripted drama where football folklore legends will emerge wearing either the crimson and white or the scarlet and gray. Enjoy it.
Thanks, AP. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks,
nice job. Our visits with Eric are brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers. Learn about great deals at buyfordnow.com or visit your nearest dealer today. Okay, we're back to wrap it up, and Eric has some thoughts on the passing of Tommy Lasorda.
One-handed grab with his left.
Are you kidding me?
This is LA Football Mondays with Eric Dickerson, Hall of Famer, Rodney Peet, celebrated NFL quarterback, and Fred,
complete and utter nerd.
Brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Yeah. All right.
That's right, Rodney Peet, Fred Rogan, Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson on an LA Football Monday.
Eric, the all-new F-150 is purpose-built from the ground up. It's redesigned to be the toughest, most productive F-150 ever.
You got that right, Fred. I have a F-150 right now, and I'm looking forward to that 2021. I know it's going to be fantastic.
Ford has some great new models coming out, and that Bronco looks really cool.
Yep, I got a young daughter, 15 years old. She's been sweating me by the car, and she likes that Bronco very much, so I'm going to probably be coming out of my pocket unless you want to do it for me, Fred.
No, I'll pass, but thanks for the offer. Very kind of you. Be sure to check out Dodger Talk tonight and every Monday night here on AM 570 LA Sports. David Vasse will be joined by Dodger legend Mike Socha. We continue to celebrate the life and legacy of Tommy Lasorda. That's Dodger Talk tonight at 7 right here on your home of the world champion Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports. Eric, you were very close to Tommy, weren't you?
Oh, man, Fred, let me tell you something. For all you Dodger fans, you know, who never met Tommy, the ones you who have met Tommy, who had met Tommy, just a great human being, loved him to death. Last he was at my house here for my New Year's Eve party last year. I have pictures of that, but just a great guy. I mean, and I didn't know Tommy until about maybe like the last 10 or 15 years I met him through my friend Christopher Leggio. And, you know, Tommy made me a Dodger fan. I was not a baseball fan at all. I mean, I played a little baseball in high school and stuff, in my grade school, but wasn't a real baseball fan. But Tommy made me a baseball fan. I mean, I used to ask him, I said, Tommy, you going to invite me to a Dodger game? Oh, Eric, you're so full of it. You're not coming to the game. Come on, stop pulling my leg. I said, Tommy, I promise you, you invite me. All right, I'm going to invite you. You're not going to come. And he invited me, and I started going. And I got to say, that's how I became a Dodger fan, because of my friend, Tommy Lasorda. He's going to be sadly missed. But, man, you're talking about funny. This guy always had a joke. Just loved him to death. Going to miss him a lot, but like I say, you know, for his new life in heaven, I'm happy for him, because that's and I know this much here. When he gets up there, if God would have on a San Francisco Giants uniform, he'd be like, oh, no, I'm in the wrong spot. I got to make you a Dodger fan. So, you know, Tommy, we love you. I know all the fans love you. And just want you to know, man, we're going to really miss you.
Well, Eric, and you were also involved in a great Tommy Lasorda story that I told on Friday when you had invited him to come down to one of our remotes for the first season of NFL Football Mondays. And
oh, my God.
We really didn't know that. And then he shows up, and after one segment, we said thanks. And he got mad at me and said, how can I only be here for once? I thought, thanks, Eric.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. Tommy, like, what the hell? I come down there for one segment. That's it? What you get wasting my time for this? And yeah, he was mad at you, Frosty. It's his fault.
Perfect. His fault. As always. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome, Fred. I want to, you know, help out.
That was greatly appreciated. All right, Adam, Kevin, thanks for today. Good job as always. Eric, thank you. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Rodney, see you tomorrow.
Where everybody try to fatten their pocket. So many hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears.